tazria starts off with the din of yoledes, that a yoledes it becomes tameya, number one. And number two, yoledes is asur labailam. We have a difference in the end of Parshas Metzora. You have the difference between a nida and a zova. A nida and a zova is also the same. They're both tameyos. They're both an avatuma. And they're asur labailam. It's an isa tashmish. Asur labailam means if she's single, is also asura. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes, it doesn't make a difference whether the woman is single or married. The Issa Nida applies even if she's single. So on the bottom of the page, I have the Pirush from the Torah Hashlamim, the regular page in the Yeridaya. So he explains what's the Chiddush over here. So he says, because the Gemara gives a time of Dikra, the Gemara Nida gives a reason why did the Torah institute a din of Nida, because the husband is always allowed to be with his wife, so he won't be so excited when he sees her. But if there's a half of the month he's not allowed to be together, then when she's to her, he's going to be more excited. So one might think mistakenly that the laws of need only apply if the couple is married. They're not married, so you don't have to be mechaber of the isha and the boyfriend. So that's why the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that the isha of nida is not only labayla if she's married. If she's single, is also the same isha nida. But balosh nikil, we say nida is asur labayla. So the difference, what's the difference between a nida and a zava? There are differences. The nida does not need shiva nikiyim, and when she finishes the nida, she doesn't have to bring a korban to become tohar. The zava requires shiva nikiyim, and she does need a korban at the end of the ziva. She does need a korban. So how do you decide whether the woman became a nida or a zava? They both start off the same way. She has a riyas dam and amokar. So the difference is whether the riyas dam is be'es nidasa or be'lo'es nidasa. That's what it says in Chumash. If the riyas dam is be'es nidasa in the normal time, then she becomes a nida. And if the dam comes below es nidasa, shelo be'es nidasa, then she becomes a zova. And how do you decide when is be'es nidasa, when is below es nidasa? So the Mishnah says in the end of nida, that's yud alef yom shvei nida la nida. There are 11 days during which she is able, when a woman has a riyas dam, she becomes a nida for 7 days. So the 11 days immediately following those 7 days, it's called the lowest nidasa. That's when it's abnormal for the woman to have done. So the two differences between a nida and a zava, they're both asura labayla, they're both an avatuma, both the same thing, koris, everything the same. Everything the same. The difference is that the zava needs a korban after she becomes tohar. She needs a korban if she wants to enter the Beis HaMikdash, if she wants to eat kodshim. And the nida does not need a korban. The zava needs a sfira shiva nikiyim. And the nida does not need the sefira shivanikim. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Nida that Rebbe made a takana that we observed as manazeh, that all the women should be treated as suffix nida, suffix zova. So that's why we always require shivanikim, and but we wouldn't require a korban. She can't bring what's the korban that the zova brings? So you can bring an oil soif and a dover, but you can't bring a chata soif as an adover. So if the woman is a suffix need, a suffix zova, she can't just go to chumr. There's a special din of chata soif abo ala suffix. If the woman is a suffix, if she's a real suffix need, a suffix zova, as man as there, Rebbe made a chumr that we treat all the women who become a nida as if they're a toa. Toa, there's a Mishnah, Erechen, a Mishnah Nida. Same Mishnah appears in Tumasichtis. A woman is a toa, she had amnesia. She forgot where she's holding. She doesn't remember whether she had a baby or she lost a baby or she's a Nida, a Zava, single, married. She doesn't remember. It was pretty confusing. She doesn't remember what continent she lives on. So the Mishnah tells you, how do you deal with the woman? She has to go to mikveh 45 times. The Mishnah goes with the shita that tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So you don't know when the tefillah b'zman is. She has to go to mikveh in the morning, maybe that's the end of the shiva nikiyim. She has to go at night, maybe it's the end of the yimei nidus. Next morning, next night, next morning, next night. So if she's really a suffix nida, suffix zava, then she, if she won't bring the karbanah, so she won't be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do? But you can't bring achatas ala suffix. It's a suffix chulim bazar. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there's a special institution of chata soif abo ala sofik. If it's a korban that's mechusri kapara, if the bringing of this korban prevents the woman from entering the Beis HaMikdash, she's going to be stuck. And she doesn't bring the korban, so what do you do? L'makom sofik? So So it's a special dinyan. You can bring a chatos seif al asaf. But as man as that, the women are asafik nida, asafik zavet. That's a make-believe asafik. She's not a real asafik nida. So he's not going to bring a Rebbe's chumra was to treat her like the zavet that she needs shivinikim. But he was not going to be machmed that she has to bring a korban when the Beis Hamikdash will be built. So she's going to bring all the korbanos for every month that she became a safek nida, safek zava. Not allowed to. You can't bring any safek. The Gaonim were of the opinion we mentioned last week that the zava has the same requirement as the zav, that she has to be toivul and maim chayim. So then it follows that bisman is there. Every woman is a safek nida, safek zava, has to be toivul and maim chayim. That's generally not the accepted opinion. There are some poskim who are machma like that, choshish for the shita sagonim. But most are not, because the Ramban HaChumash says that it's a mistake. It's a beferish of Tosef the Megillah. Ein ben zav lezov elosh azav ton maim chayim azav ein etun maim chayim. It says beferish. You don't need maim chayim. There's another difference between a zava and a nida. That the zava, another two differences. The zava needs shivinikim, and the nida does not need shivinikim. A woman becomes a nida, let's say, on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month. What's today? Rosh Chodesh year. Rosh Chodesh year, the first day of the month. So she will be a nida through, she becomes a nida today, she'll be a nida through Zion year, whether or not she had dam. And then she can go to the mikveh the night after Zion year. The night of Chesir, she can go to mikveh, whether or not she had dam all the 7 days. If she had dam that night, then she becomes a zavaktana. That's the first 11 days following the first 7 days of Yimei Nidus. So those 11 days are the Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nidah L'Nidah, that she can become a zavakdana, zavaktana during that period of time. So the din is that a zava needs Sfira Shivinikim and a Nidah does not. That's a big question. What does it mean? How do you translate the word Sfiras Shivinikim? It's the same as Sfiras Ha'imer, that you have to count. You have to say Hayoim Yom Echad, the Sfira Shivinikim. Yom Shneyam, the Sfira Shivinikim. Or no, you don't have to count the pet. So the Shalom interpreted Pshat in the Taisvis in Ksubis that you need Sfira B'peh. The Taisvis just says you don't say a bracha, but you have to have Sfira B'peh. And the later Paskin did not think the Shalom was right. They disagreed. So the Nariv Yehuda has an expression. He says, quotes a Medrash on the Pasuk in Kohelis, Oyev Kesef La Yizba Kesef. One who loves money will never be satisfied with all the money that he has. So the Medrash comments on that pasuk, it's the same thing, Oyev mitzvahs liyizba mitzvahs. One who loves mitzvahs will never be satisfied, he'll never relax, he'll always be running and looking for additional mitzvahs. And the Medrash says that's Moshe Rabbeinu, that he loved to do mitzvahs, and he's always running to do more mitzvahs. So that's what the Nariv Yehuda writes in Melitza on the Shalom, Oyev mitzvahs liyizba mitzvahs. The Shalom was such a tzaddik, he loved mitzvahs, that he wasn't satisfied with 613. Had to discover anew, he had to invent a new mitzvah, that the Zavah has to count Sfira B'peh. So the Pashto says that the Sofra by the Zavah and the Zavah needs Sfira Shivinikiyim. It doesn't mean they count Sfira B'peh. Pasha Pshat is they make Bedikas and they wait till the end of the Shivinikiyim. So the Pasuk says, the Sofra lo Shivas Yomim V'achar Titor. What is it? What is the connotation of the word V'achar? The Sofra lo Shivas Yomim V'titor. And she should go to the mikvah. Why does it say V'achar Titor? So the Gemara understands when that word v'achar, achar ma'isa titar, the last day of the Shivinikiyim, we would allow her to be bedik in the morning, to make a bedik in the morning, the same mikvah sayam kikulin, to go to mikvah in the daytime, min ha'torah. Anida doesn't need bedikas, whether there was dam all 7 days or there was no dam at all doesn't make a difference. So by anida, it's not shach to say mikvah sayam kikulin. What do you mean? The anida is going to be tabled the morning of the seventh day. Mitzvah Sayyim Kikul only applies when you're doing some kind of a kiyum, when you're doing something. Acha Maisa. So the Zavad man has to make bedikas. The Nida doesn't make any bedikas. It's Lamala v'lamard, whether she makes bedikas. It doesn't make a difference whether there was dam all 7 days or there's no dam. As long as the dam ended before the end of the 7 days, the Nida can be tovah balayla. So that's a major difference between the Zavah and the Nida on the level of the Raisa. The Nida has to be tovelas balayla, the night after the 7 full days are up, and the Zavah Minatoro, the Gemara has a whole explanation why they made it there, the Rabbanah, we don't allow it. Abalam HaChachamim also lasses, Ken Shemi over the day, Shemi Tavu the day of air. But on the level of the Raisa, this is the marker of the din, a mikzah sayam kukula. We have a din when a person observes Shiva, So the morning of the seventh day, he terminates the shiva, a person in preserved shloshim. So the morning of the 30th day, you say mikzayim tekula. Where's the mocker for that din? So the shiva, the shloshim, is only the rabbanon. So where's the mocker for the principle of mikzayim tekula? So the mocker is this word, va'achar titar. That's the Rab Shimon's drasha. Rab Shimon by Yechoy, the Tana. Rab Shimon's drasha. In the end of Maseches Nidah, on this pasuk, va'achar titar, acha ma'aseh titar, that you say mikzayim tekula. So the Gemara comments in Psochem and the Avtzarik on the base. Here it says, the opening pasuk in Tazria. It says, if she had gives birth to a baby boy, so she's tamei 7 days, ki may need as divorce a titma, like a nida, not like a zova. The yoledes is tamei for 7 days, and you don't say mixes in kukuloi. The yoledes, the Gemara has a braisa, kol chab tvilas tovin bayom, chutz mi nida vi yoledes, she tvilasam balaylo. All the other chab tvilas means a zav and a zova. They have to count Shiva and Akim so they can be Tovel in the morning. You say Mitzvah Kukula on the last day. But the Nida and Yoledes, you don't apply Mitzvah Kukula. They're not doing any Bedikas. They don't have to do anything. They're just waiting. So that's what the Gemara says, the connotation of this expression, Kimei Nida's device of Titmo, the Yoledes is Tmeo, like a Nida, just like by a Nida, you don't say Mitzvah Kukuloi. So the same is true by the Yoledes. If she is Yoledes Nikevo, she has to wait 14 full days and go to the mikveh the night, not before the night after the 14th day. What does it mean if she gives birth to a baby boy? She has 7 Yemei Tuma and 33 Yemei Tahara. Shloshim Yom Shloshim Yamim Teshei B'Demei Tahara. What does it mean, Teshei B'Demei Tahara? And then it says she gives birth to a baby girl, everything is double. She's Tmeya for 14 days. And she has 66 days, Teshei Bal Tamei Tohara. What do you mean, Teshei Bal Tamei Tohara? So the Gemara understands what it means. Even if she has a Miyaz Dam, she's still Tohara. That's called Dam Tohar. The Rambam quotes the Karoim, who had their own slant on everything. So the Rambam was fighting a lot with the Karoim. In every generation, you have to figure out who your enemies are. So in the days of the Rambam, they were fighting with Karoim. So the Karoim interpreted the pasuk as follows, that the Mishnah tells us that not everything that comes out of the woman's body from that organ is dama nida. That part of the body is always moist, always excreting some liquids, some moistures, and most of the time it's not dam, most of the time it's other things. So the only time we declare it as dam, if it has a maradam, has to have, and the Mishnah says there are 5 specific shades of red and black that are metame, and other shades are brown and yellow, and other things that are not metame. The Gemara talks about dam hayorik, who is a machlekes satanaim. Kavya ben Mahalal was metame, and the Chachamu were metahir. And they offered him, at one point, they offered him that he should be appointed the chief rabbi, but they can't allow a chief rabbi who's machmer on dam hayorik. That's impossible. So they said, if you'll back down from your shita, so we'll make you chief rabbi. How can I back down from my shita? The din is the din, he can't back down. So he lost the job. He was a man of principle, and they were a principle also. He can't have a chief rabbi, it's going to make life impossible for all for the whole Kalani. So he couldn't make him chief rabbi. So Dama Yorek al Pipashtis is assumed to be brown or yellow. So some would think that it means green. Dama Yorek is green. So Rav Soloveitchik would make fun of that. He says that Yorek Kikarsi is green. Tosis points out Yorek Kikarsi. Karsi is some kind of green grass. Yorek Kikarsi is green, and Yorek alone means brown or yellow. Esrik HaYorek in the Gemara means brown or yellow. It doesn't mean there are green Esrikim also. That's Yorek Kikarsi, is puzzle. But Esrik HaYorek is La Mahadrin, it means a yellow Esrik. It doesn't mean a green Esrik is La Mahadrin and La Mahadrin. So the Rambam says that the Karoim had a different slant on the pasuk. They said Pshat, Teishei B'dmei Tohara, during the 33 days and the 66 days following the 7 of the 14 days, that we're more machmer, not that we're more makel. Even if the woman has a riyas dam hayoroi, she has a riya, she has some excretion coming out from the mocker that's not a maritome, teished b'demei tohoro, she's asur labayla, even if it's a maritohor. So the Rambam says that that's apikursis. That's what the Karoim invented, a chumra. So the Rambam says that it's apikursis. So labayla, it's going to come out. According to the Karoim, that part of the body is always giving out excretions. So according to the Karaim, it means that the woman is Tmeya for 40 days and for 80 days. Of course there's going to be a Marator coming out later on. So the Rambam records that there was a practice in some of the communities in Egypt, the Karoi communities, that the woman wouldn't bother going to mikveh after 7 or 14 days. She would wait to go to mikveh after the 40 or the 80 days were up. So during the 33 days or the 66 days, she's always going to have a Marator. There's always something coming out. It's not only Meraglaim. Meraglaim is not from the Mokker. But even something that's coming out from the Mokker, if it's a Marator, it's Tahor. So the Karoim were Machmeh on anything that comes out, any secretion that comes out, even though it's a Marator, they were Machmeh. So it doesn't pay to go to Mikveh after 7 or 14 days. May as well wait till after 40 or 80 days. So the Rambam says that that's Apikursus. So the Ramon Yerideh records such a minik, and he defends it. He has a long explanation in the Darki Moshe, which the Shach quotes. He defends the minik. He explains maybe it's not only from the Karoim, maybe it does make sense. Gives a whole nice explanation. But the Ramon says, if that's the minig in your makam, you can observe the minig. The Rambam says it's forbidden to observe that minig because it's rooted in the Karoim. The source is from the Karoim. The Rambam says he's not so convinced. It could be that it comes from the Bali Atesis, and he gives you a whole good explanation. But he says he's not encouraging the minig. He says if in your community they have the minig, so you should observe the minig. It's not necessarily apikurs. It could be it's rooted in a makam makam tahar. It could be that it has a holy source. But the Rambam is upset about that. The Gemara points out, Rashi quotes it, the Gemara points out that the Yoledes is Asur Labailo and Temeyo, even if it were a Leda Yeveshti, even if it would be a dry Leda. There's absolutely no dam whatsoever, which is highly improbable. There's a bucket full of dam that comes out when a woman gives birth to a baby. So the woman is anyway a Nida. So what do you need the whole Pasuk for? So the Pasuk tells me that even if theoretically it would be a Leida Yeveshta, a dry Leida, absolutely no dam whatsoever, which is impossible. A whole chunk of our body is, if you rip off my arm, of course it's going to be dam. So you're ripping off the whole uber from the woman's kishkas inside. So of course it's going to be dam. So even if theoretically it would have been a Leida Yeveshta, she would still be tameh. The din requires that you have to bring a set of karbanos for every baby that you have. We have no Beis HaMikdash now. So my wife gave birth to 9 babies. So she's when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, she'll have to bring 9 sets of karbanos. The Mishnah says, increases that a woman who had 9 births and didn't bring any karbanos yet, so she'll come to the Beis HaMikdash. Once she brings the first set of karbanos, she's no longer Mechusa Kippurim. She's allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash and she's allowed to eat karbanos. But she's still obligated to bring the other 8 sets of karbanos. It's a mitzvah to bring a set of karbanos for each leida. But the aspect of the bringing, that aspect that when you bring the korban, this terminates the tumah, let's say a person attended 10 funerals. He became tamei meis 10 times. He has to have azor shlishi shvi 10 times. A person touched 10 different dead mice. Every time the person touches a dead mouse, he becomes tamei. So he has to go to mikveh 10 times. The Gemara says, no, he goes to mikveh once. That removes the tumah. This is a reason to be tamei. You touch a sheretz, you touch an avela, you become tamei. But you go to mikveh once, that removes all of the tumah. So over here also, the aspect that the karbanos remove the tumah with respect to entering the Beis HaMikdash, she's eating karbanos. So even if she had 9 babies, she brings the first set of karbanos, she's no longer tamei. That's like going to mikveh, that removes the Mechusa Kippurim minyan. It's still a mitzvah to bring the rest of the karbonos. This karbon is one of the 5 that are called Olah B'Yorid. Olah B'Yorid means the price goes up or the price goes down, depending on how much the person can afford. If the woman can afford it, so she's obligated to bring Keves Ben Shnosor L'Yorlo Uven Yona Otor L'Chatos. Keves is expensive. If you don't have a yoda, she can't afford that, then she brings 2 oifes, 1 li'oila, 1 lachatos. But if she can't afford it, so she brings a keves li'oila, ben yon otor lachatos. So that's called oila v'yorid. The price goes up, the price goes down. In Parshas Mitzora, you also have an oila v'yorid by the Mitzora who becomes tohor. So he's also from the Mechusa Kippur. Mechusa Kippur means a person who is tameh. He goes to mikveh, so he's tahor. If he goes to mikveh the right time, he's tahor. He's taught for the purpose of chulin. If he touches chulin, it won't be metame. He's taught for the purpose of eating ma'aseh sheni. He's not permitted to eat truma until he or she has harav shemesh. Now the oledes, if she goes to mikveh after the 7 days or after the 14 days, she's tahira. But it says, "B'chol kodesh lo siga ve'l hamikdash lo tava ad malos yemei tahara." She's not allowed to eat truma until the end of the 40 days. She needs Harav Shemesh. The Harav Shemesh is not that night. The Harav Shemesh is at the end. We treat her like a Tvul Yom Aruch. She has the status of a Tvul Yom. That's why Rashi quotes the expression from the Tanoim. The woman who goes to Mikveh after 7 or 14 days, depending if she had a boy or a girl, has the status like a Tvul Yom Aruch. Normally a Tvul Yom, you go to Mikveh this day. So you wait till Tzeisat Kochavim that night. Here she has to wait till Tzeisat Kochavim after the 40 days or the 80 days are up. So then she's allowed to eat truma. And then she still can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, and she still can't bring karbanos until she brings the... And she still can't eat kachim, or she still can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. She's a mechusi kippurim until she brings her karbanos the next morning. So you have the same as by the mitzorah. The mitzorah becomes tahar, and then he has to bring a set of karbanos. So the karbanos that he brings is also mechusi kippurim. The hakravas hakarbanos is mashlu the tahara process of the mitzorah. So the din is by the mitzorah. Also, if he can afford it, what does he bring? Ubayam hashmini. Ikach shnei kvasim tmimim. Mechavsa achas bat shnasa tmima. He brings three karbanos. What are the three karbanos? One is an asham. And one is, what does it say? Chatos. And one is an olo. Three kvas, and one is an osham, one is a chatos, one is an olo. Vimdalhu, then yodam asegis, if he can't afford it, so then he doesn't have to bring three kvasim, osham, chatos, olo. He brings one kevis li osham, that we can give him a break on. There's no osham in oifas. Oifas is either chatos oif or other oif. There's no korban pesach. He can't afford a korban pesach, he can't bring an oif. Can't be chicken, has to be kalesh. And Asham also, there's no Asham by Ov. So the kevis li Asham he has to bring. He should bring shtei torme, shtei b'nei yoyna, shtei tasi yoyna, one achatas, one an oyla. But that's also called an oyla v'yori. And then you have him earlier, in the end of Parshas Vayikra, you had three oyla v'yorites, where there was Ashira's dalas and dali dalas. If he can afford it, he brings a achatas behema. If he can't afford it, he brings a achatas soif and an oyla soif. If he can't afford that, then he brings a minchas chayte. That's Hashiva's dalas and dalas dalas. Who are the three people who bring Oda B'yorid and Parshas Vayikra? So one is Tumas Migdash B'Kadoshav. If a person by mistake entered the Beis HaMikdash, a red carbon is in the state of Tuma. The Nelem Imanu, he forgot all about it. The second one is Shavuos Ha'edus. If someone asked Bo de Heiduni, and I said Shvo Sheni Adei Lechoides, no, I took a Shvo. I don't know anything about the case. I can't testify. Then I was lying. I didn't want to get involved. And then later on, I admit that I swore falsely. But what's Kim Shigat Shimon Chayzer Magid? Once I swear in front of Bezin, I don't know any Eidus, so I can't come back to Bezin the next day and say I swore falsely yesterday. I really do know Eidus. So I ruined the case for the man. The man lost his case. The man lost money because of my Shvua Sheker, Shvua Shaneni Delech Eidus. So the Torah says, if I ever decide to do tshuva, so I have to bring a Chatas Olav Yorid. And the third one, he brings a Chatas Olav Yorid there, is a Shvua's Bitoy. If a person took a Shvua, he's not going to eat potato chips, or onion, whatever, I don't know, cookies. And then he forgets about the Shavuah, and then he goes and eats it, and then he reminds himself that he violated the Shavuah B'toyas. So then it says he has to bring Achatas Olav Yorid. That's in the end of Parshas Vayikra, the beginning of chapter 8. Nefesh kisechta v'shama kolol v'hu'ed oro yodem lo yagdim v'nas avono is one. That Shavuah's Eidus. Nefesh ha-shatiga v'chol dovetomei, etc. Nele m'men v'hu tomei v'yashem. He entered bi'as migdash v'kadoshov. Tumas migdash v'kadoshav. Nefesh kisushav alavat b'sam lahor lehetev l'chodesh shavato adam eshuav v'nele men v'yad v'yashem l'achas me'elu. If he violates Shavuah's bitui, Shua's Bita. So any one of these three have to bring an Ola B'yorid. That Ola B'yorid is Ashiris Dalas and Dalai Dalas, three categories. It doesn't say. It is very strange. It doesn't say. You get the impression that he's mukhif to spend every last penny that he has in order to bring the korbanos. If he mamish can't afford it, even though he can get a loan, if he doesn't have the assets, he has to go rob a bank, a borrow. You get the impression not mukhif to borrow, but he's mukhif. You don't see hamavazos halivazos yaisim mechaymish. You get the impression he's mukhif to spend all of his money. Never says in all the gemaras increases about how much you have to. How do you determine who's ashiris and dalas and dalai dalas? Everyone will sign up for the dalai dalas. Everyone wants to save that money. You're not yaitze. If a person is mechuyif to bring a carbon ashiris and it brings dalas or dalai dalas, he's not yaitze. So how do you decide? The pasuk says by the yoledes. Sounds from the pasuk that she brings first the ola, and then she brings the chatos. Same thing. The imloit timtzo yada deisa velokesh they terms echad liyola echad lachatos. One for an ola, one for a chatos. Sounds like you bring the ola first, then the chatos afterwards. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara is just not so. The din is whenever. A person brings a set of korbanos, and one is an oil, one is a chatos. You have to bring the chatos first, and then the oil. Not only a set, it's I'm a kohen. I'm not a kohen. Let's say if I would be, I'll be a kohen. I'm standing in the Beis Hamikdash. And two balabatim run into the azara. This guy says, kohen, Mr. Kohen, I have a korban oil. I want you to be marked with the oil. The other guy screams, Bavasachas, I have a korban chatos. I want you, usually it's first come, first serve. Let's say they both come Bavasachas. So what do you makir first? So the Mishnah says you're always makir the chatas first. You're always makir the chatas first. That's not likuva. Let's say if I'll bring the oil first. Let's say the chatas guy, first come, first serve. The balabosa brings the chatas, came first, and he brought a chatas. And a little after him, so I'm getting ready to shech the chatas. Then the other guy comes with the carbon oil, and he slips me a $100 bill. So I'll bring the oil first. So the yevet, I did wrong. First come, first serve, and number two, the chat, if they would come of asachas, chatas should come before the yoyla. But nonetheless, if I bring the yoyla before the chatas, it's good. Here by the yoledes, it's a set of korbanos, and the chatas is supposed to come first, and then the yoyla. So here there's an opinion in Rishonim that Pashtus is that it's not correct, but Tosis keeps on toying with the idea. Tosis and the Ritva and others, they toy with the possibility that maybe here it's likuva. If you bring first the yoyla, and then the chatas, it could be that the oilo would be puzzled, you have to bring it again later. Why? Why should this say to be mi'akev? So the Ritvon Kiddushin on Daf Yigimel explains. Tais never explains why. Tais just doesn't like that shita. They recognize there is such an opinion, and we show them and they don't accept it. The Ritvon explains what it's based on. There is a din of mechus hazman. If you bring a korban, toch hazman, before the zman is up, so the korban is not kosher. What's mechus hazman? So there's a mechus hazman if you bring a korban before the eighth day. The animal isn't even 8 days old, says in the Chumash. You have to wait till the eighth day. So mechus hazman is possibly even b'dievet. Then there's another mechus hazman. Let's say the yoledes has to wait to bring the korbanos until after the 40 or the 80 days are up. She'll bring the korbanos in the middle before the 80 days are up. So that's also mechus hazman. So the oila that she brings, oila is an oila. You can bring an oila as an edava. That's not a problem. But the chatas is not bob an edim and edava. So the chatas that she brings, toch hazman, is possible. She's not yaitz. She has to bring it again. Shaila, what about the oila? The Mishnah says the oila that she brings, toch hazman, is kosher. You can bring an oila whenever you want. But is she yaitz the chiyah? But he say no. She can't be yaitz the chiyah before the 40 days or the 80 days. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is over there that she's Yoytze the Oilo. That's a very big Kiddush. If you wouldn't look in the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah, you would get the impression the Pashtus is not. So Pashish, the Yoledes brings the Karbonis Terech HaZman. You're not Yoytze. She brought it too early. You're not Yoytze. Rambam writes that the Oilo, she's Yoytze the Oilo Zami Doro. So that's... So there is one opinion in the among the Bali HaTosis in the days of the Rishon, there was an opinion that by the Oledis, because it's a set of Korbanos, if she'll bring the Oila before the Chatas, the Oila will be possible because it's Mechus HaZman. It wasn't supposed to be brought yet. It was brought too early. It's not the same Mechus HaZman. There's a Mechus HaZman in the Guf HaKorban, it's not even 8 days old. Then there's a Mechus HaZman, the Oledis brought to Korbanos before the 80 days were up or before the 40 days are up. It's a different Mechus HaZman. I brought the Oila before the Chatas. I was supposed to bring the Chatas first, then the Oila. So it's a different kind. That's a Shaila. I called Mechus HaZman, the Bobayom. On the same day, not to have to wait till tomorrow. On the same day, I was supposed to wait to do something else. So the Gemara has a pilpul about that. Is there a din of Mechus HaZman, the Bobayom or not? So the Rishayim discuss it over here. The Gemara talks about it in a different context on Yom Kippurim. When there's a Seder HaVaidos, if you bring one carbon before the other, is there Mechus HaZman Lebo Bayam? So here the Rishayim discuss such a pasuk. So why does the pasuk write it in such a misleading fashion? It sounds from the pasuk that you bring the oil first. Tavi kevitz menshnasol the oil and yonah tola chatos. It says in the Chumash you bring the oil, then you bring the chatos. And the Mishnah says in the Zvachim that it's not true. So what does the Mishnah do with the pasuk in Chumash? So the Gemara asks the question in Zvachim. First daf in Perakol HaTadir, daf Peitesim and Aleph, I think. So the Gemara answers, Rashi quotes it. The Gemara answers, Lehigdima hakosav ela limikro'o. The pasuk says, oila first, it's only limikro'o. In truth, you makriv the chatas first. The pasuk says, oila first, limikro'o. Mazel limikro'o. So Rashi says, when the Balkari lanes kriyas ataram, parshas tazriya, so you talk about oila first. So that's exactly the question. So why does the Chumash write it in this leading fashion? If it's not true, what do you mean? Lahigdim akos ela limikro. So Tosis quotes a snazi pshat, the name of the Rab Chaim Kohen. Rab Chaim Kohen was never makir kabbonis in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. He was talmid of the Rabbi in time. He wasn't there in person. He claims lahigdim akos ela limikro means when you magdish the kabbonis, she's supposed to be magdish the oila first and then magdish the chatas afterwards. And when you makriv it, you makriv first the chatas and then makriv the oila. I mean, it really makes a difference which one you are magdish first. Is it din to say that it's makir b'di'evit? It's hard to say. But even l'chatchila, it's an astonishing din that there's a seder kedima in being magdish the karbonis. The hakdoshes hakarbon is just the hachana for the hakrabas hakarbon. The hakdoshes hakarbon is like a hechsha mitzvah. It's like take a mashal amadav adayme when you make tefillin. So the writing of the tefillin, the sewing up, and the blackening of the bottom, that's the hachana. That's the Hechshem mitzvah. I prepared the tefillin. And then I put on the tefillin. That's the mitzvah. Anochas ha-tefillin is the kima mitzvah. So there's a din that the ksivas ha-tefillin has to be ksiva kisidron. The redinim, a seder in hachonas. You don't just say, well, as long as you have everything there, so it's okay. It's not true. The ksivas ha-tefillin has to be done in a specific order. If you write shalei kisidron, the tefillin will be possible. So here also, I don't know if this would possible, but yeah, but it's hard to believe. The whole Rav Chaim Kohen is hard to believe. You have to be magdish the oila first before the chatas, but he says there is a din, there's a seder, probably a seder lachatchila in the hakdosha sakarbonis.
Isn't it clear that the Torah brings a chatas
I don't remember.
Because it stands there in front of Shara Mikon, right? So it can't. So maybe when he brings the chasar, it cannot be a plan to be a plan.
I don't even remember if the Gemara talks about it. Could be the Gemara and Croesus talks about it. I don't know. This chatas that the Oledis brings, Kevis ben Shnosol Yolal ben Yonah Torle Chatos, is usually assumed that this is not a chatas alachet. A chatas, usually we're used to thinking a person did an avera b'shogi, which if he would have done it b'meizu, it would have been chayv kares. So kosher is not a kares, and shigigos a chatas. Then you have the chatas Ola b'yorid in Parshas Vayikra that we spoke about. Tumas Migdash Mikadoshav and Shuas Aidus and Shuas Bitui. So if the person violated an avera, he needs a kaparis, they bring zachatas olaviyori. Normal chat. Then you have the first day, Harish Chodesh Nissen, the first 12 days of Chodesh Nissen, each one of the Nisim brought karbonis, a set of karbonis. So one of the karbonis they brought was a chatas. So the Gemara talks about the Soyer Nachshon. Nachshon ben Aminadab of the Shevet Yehuda was the first one, the first Nazir. Well, they all brought a Soyer lachatas. So the Gemara says Soyer Nachshon, chatas Nachshon, was not Boalachet. It was a special thing here also. The Pashtas is that the chatas of the Oledes is not a chatas lachapar alachet. One Tana says that there's a chet involved, but the Pashtus is that that's a little aderach hadrash. I don't think we accept that opinion that the chatas is alachet. I think we hold that it's like the soya nachshon, like a chatas nachshon. It's not bo alachet. The Gemara has differences between a chatas that's bo alachet and chatas that's not bo alachet. One of the differences is, let's say a man is married to a woman and she's insane. Okay, she's crazy. Or she's chareshes. Chareshes is retarded. A man marries his daughter up. I want to marry this person's daughter. I marry his daughter, then it turns out that the daughter is crazy. Absolutely meshuga. She's a chareshes or a shoita, and she has a baby. So the Gemara says the husband, the wife is a la baldas. A chareshes shoita ktana can't give birth to a baby, so the parasha doesn't apply to a ktana. We usually put together chareshes to be cut off for yalab and edas. But let's say a man is married to a woman. Turns out that she's a chareshes or a shoita. She can give birth to babies. So she has a baby, so she's going to be tameo for the rest of her life. She won't be able to bring karbanos because the din is in order to be makrim karbanos has to be l'ritzono, has to be l'daita, hakol tzrichim das. When you bring karbanos, you have to have das. You have to have das b'shas hakdoshes hakorban. You have to have das b'shas hakrobas hakorban. Two moments. You have to have das habaylim, on whose behalf the korban is being offered, both b'shas hakdoshes hakorban and b'shas hakrobas hakorban. Let's say I'm mechuyev to bring a korban chatas. I ate chela v'dam b'shegeg. I'm mechuyev to bring a korban chatas. I can't afford it. I'm very poor. So my next door neighbor is a wealthy man. So he says he's going to take care of it. So I says, please do me a favor, bring it. So he says, do you give me permission to be magdish? I say, yeah, I give you authorization to be magdish and to be makrav on my behalf. So that's das. I gave him permission. I gave him authorization. So there's das both b'shas hakdosh and b'shas hakrav. There's all discussion in the Mishnah and Erechin. Sometimes he says zochem liyadam shalay b'fonam, so you can be either magdish the korban or makrav the korban without consulting me, because he's doing me a favor. You're saving me a few hundred dollars by paying for the korban on my behalf. So the Gemara, the Mishnah has a whole discussion. The Gemara has a whole discussion. At what moment of time do you say zochem liyadam shalay b'fonam? At the moment of hakdosh, at the moment of kapara, hakrovas hakorban. But in principle, you really need das bala korban at both moments of time. The das can be substituted with the zach liyam shlevafan. So the Gemara says, what about if the wife is a chareshes or a shaita? So the husband can never bring the karbanos on behalf of his wife because she's a lab bas das. So the Gemara says, hakol tzichem das chutz memchusri kipurim. That's the Gemara in the Dor, and daf lamed hey. The memchusri kipurim don't need das. She can't automate the karban alishto chareshes or shaita. If the wife is a chareshes or a shaita, she gave birth to a baby, the husband. So someone's going to push her into the mikveh to make her tahor. When noshim bot kesosa, women will be boidik to make sure she has shavani kim. The bat will her in the mikveh, and then the husband can bring the karbanos on behalf of his wife. I bish is a chareshes or a shoyta. She's a lav bas das. So the din is that b'chusi kipurim you don't need das for the hakrovas hakarbanos. Why? Because it's a different kind of a karban. It's not a karban that you yoyt. You yoyt a mitzvah also. Like we had when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, when my wife will bring the first set of karbanos, she'll already be tahora, she'll be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos, but she's still b'hashara la'achoyva, still obligated to bring the remaining 8 sets of karbanos, because we had the 9 sets of, 9 births, 9 babies. So there's another aspect to the hakrovas hakarbanos, it's a mitzvah, in addition to being a mechusi kipurim. Let's say the woman is a chareshes or a shaito, so she's not in the conditioned that she can go fulfill the mitzvah. She doesn't know what's going on. She's not all there. So the husband can still bring the karbanis of the mechusa kippur.
But if we say that the chatas nazir is also not for al-afeh?
Could be. I don't remember. The Gemara talks about it. The Gemara probably says it. It's not for al-afeh. Shal is the pasuk ashechata ala nefesh. What does that mean? Ashechata ala nefesh. But I think the Gemara says it's not bo alachet. You have to look again in the Gemara. In the middle of the dinim of Yoledes, it puts in a din that we knew already from Parshas Lech Lecha, Bayam Meshmini Imo Psara Losa. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos, has 24 prokim. There's one whole perek about mitzvahs milah, perek ablezer de milah. The Gemara perek ablezer milah discusses what's this pasuk doing over here? V'yamash b'niim ob'sar los, and nothing is added. It's all in parashas lech lecha, that the milah bizmanu should take place on the eighth day. So the Gemara has a machloikis amaroim ravina ravashi, I think. So one opinion is that the only time you have a din of shmini is kol she'ima t'mei aleido, is nima l'shmina. The Chumash is telling me that it's a package deal. That's why it's written over here. If the mother is Tamei Oleido, then there's a din of Mila Bishmini. If the mother is not Tamei Oleido, if you have a case where the mother is not Tamei Oleido, then the bris does not have to take place on the Shmini. What's the case where the mother is not Tamei Oleido? So there's a Machlekes Satanoim and Perik Yotzi Doifen. Yotzi Doifen is the name of a Perik of Maseches Nida. So in the first Mishnah, there's a Machlekes Satanoim. What if a baby is delivered cesarean? The baby wasn't pushed out through the rechem the normal way. They cut open the woman's womb, they cut open the body, and they took out the baby. So there was no leido. Plus it says v'yoldo, only a v'yoldo. So we paskin that the v'yoldo means a regular leido. If it's a yotze defin, there's no yimei tumah v'yimei tara. So one amara in the Gemara holds, Tanoim never spoke about the topic. One amara in the Gemara says, kol she'inei mitamei leido, if it's a cesarean delivery, then the bris does not have to take place on the eighth day. You can do the bris on the same day. They made a cesarean delivery on a Thursday morning at 11:30 in the morning, so you can do the bris right away. You don't have to wait till the eighth day. The other Amar this, and he said that's why it's written in the Parsha Tazria to teach you this din, that the din of Shmini only applies like that. The other Amar disagrees and says not true. That's not why it's written over here. Even if it was a cesarean, the mila still has to take place on the Shmini. So how do we pass on Allah l'maisa? I think it's Ravina Ravashi. So the Gemara says, whenever this look like Ravina Ravashi, you always go to Chumra. So in which direction do you go to Chumra over here? So we go to Chumra not to do the bris this morning. According to one opinion, you do the bris right now. As soon as they wash off the baby, you do the bris today. According to the other opinion, you have to wait till next Thursday morning. You do need the Shmini. But let's say they did a cesarean delivery on a Shabbos. So then if you hold that there's no din of Shemini, so they couldn't do the bris on Shabbos, it's a milish lovers man. They could have done the bris on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the fact that they're lazy and they waited till Shabbos, you're not allowed to do the milah on Shabbos. If it's not a milah bismana, so it's not the Shabbos. We go to Chum in both directions. Whenever there's a cesarean delivery, so we don't allow the bris until the eighth day. But if the eighth day is Shabbos, then you got to wait till the ninth day. Then you got to wait till Sunday. What happens if the eighth day is Yontif? So the same thing. It's also a suffix, because Midrash Lev Bizman is not Derech Yontif. What if the eighth day is Yontif Sheni Shel Golius? The Yontif Sheni Shel Golius is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, where the Midrash Lev Bizman is Derech Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. The Mishnah in Shabbos, the Mishnayos were written in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah talks about Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah doesn't talk about Yantav Sheni Shal Chutz Loretz. Yantav Sheni Shal Gol. Just talks about Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah is more chomer than all the other Yantav Shenis. We know it's Dusha Achas. So the Mishnah says that a Milu Shalor Bizmano is not allowed on Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. That's a Mishnah. What about Shayam and Tovim? What about every other Yantav Sheni Shal Gol is? So the Rosh says the Mishnayos were written in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tana only talks about Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. It's the same thing regarding all the other Yantav Shenis. Midrash Lev Bizman is not permitted on Yantav Sheni Shal Golis. And the Rambam says not so. Rambam says the reason why the Mishnah writes Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah Because if it would be any other Yantav Sheni, the Mila would be Doicha. So bottom line, we don't do it. We don't do a Mila Shlo Bizman on Yantav Sheni. But if it's a Svek Sveke, then most of the Paschim say that you would do it. Let's say it was a cesarean delivery. It was cesarean. And that itself is a machlokes amaroi, whether there's a din of shmini or not. So if there is a din of shmini, then it is deicha Shabbos. And even if it's not deicha Shabbos, maybe on the Mishnah Shogoli, a din is like the Rambam, not like the Rosh. So many of the Paschim say like that. Or let's say a baby would be born bein hashmashes. Baby is born bein hashmashes, so the Mishnah says you don't know whether the Mila Bizmana is the first day or the second day. So if the baby is born on a Friday evening, bein hashmashes, and when it comes next week, so he wouldn't do the bris on Friday, maybe it's Toch Shmeina. You're not allowed to do the bris on Shabbos, maybe it's Mila Shaloi Bizmana. So you have to wait till Sunday. So what happens if next week, the bein hashmashes, the baby was born a week before Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? So you're not sure whether Yom Tov Sheni is a Milu Bizmana, Milu Shloi Bizmana. So also the Dogma Mavava says in such a case that we would allow the bris because you have a Svek Svek. Maybe it is Milu Bizmana. And even if it's Milu Shloi Bizmana, maybe the din is like the Rambam. That Milu Shloi Bizmana is Dechi Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli. It's not Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So the Shaila says, what's the pasuk doing over here? According to the one opinion, the reason why Yom Hashmini Imo Psar Los is placed over here is to teach you this din. Only Kol Sheima Tamei Aleida Nima L'Shmaina, Ein Ima Tamei Aleida, Ein Nima L'Shmaina. Rav Henkin was of the opinion that if they induce labor by injecting a chemical into the woman's body, that's called Yetzer Deifer. So he was of the opinion that the Mila is not Deicha Shabbos. His opinion has not been accepted. It was outvoted, the other Rabbanim says, not so. They induced labor and then the body, then the Rechem pushed out the baby. So that is called the Leidah. That's considered a Leidah. The Rabbinical Council of America published about 15, 20 years ago, they published a new Madrich for the Rabbanim. It has all the tefillahs, all the things that you have to know to be a rabbi. So they had a Talmud Chacham was editing the new Madrich. So he decided that when he was growing up, he remembered the Rav Henkin's opinion. So he put in that if it's induced labor, the Mila is not the Hashem. So then there were so many complaints. So everybody they sent in so many letters and so many emails into the RCA. So they had to send out letters that's not the generally accepted opinion. That was Rav Henkin's opinion, and he was outvoted. The others didn't accept that. So why is the pasuk repeated here? If you hold that it's not Toli Zebizeh, any Mitmeo Leida is also Nima L'Shmoina. So why is it written over here? So the Gemara says, in Perikav Lez in the Mila, maybe it's written, repeated again, to tell me that a Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Everything that it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, you still don't know. That Mila is Deicha Shabbos. When you do Mila on Shabbos, it's some malacha or another. Different opinions in the Rishon of what malacha is violated. But the more clearly assumes there is some malacha. Pashtus says that the malacha is Chovel. Chovel is a tolda of, also a question, what malacha is Chovel? So the accepted opinion is like the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Chovel causing bleeding is a chelik of the malacha. It's a told of the malacha of Netilas Neshama. How Netilas Neshama? The baby's still alive. No one is interested in murdering the baby. No, it's Netilas Neshama because Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalik, Yadam Hu Aneches. That's what Tosis says on their own. And then they quote the Yachrayim quote, the Yerushalmi. He says, like Tosis, that Chovel causing bleeding in a person or in an animal is a told of Netilas Neshama because Yadam Hu Aneches, Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalik. That's the Pashup Shat. It's a malach of Chovel, which is told that the Tilis Neshama. Some Rishonim say that it's a malach HaMakab HaPatish. Some Rishonim say that it's a malach, because now the baby has a bris, so he's the Sukkan. They made a tikkun in the baby. Now he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach before. Was not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. And other Rishonim say that it's a tolda of Gozes. Like cutting off hair, cutting off fingernails, so he cutting off the orla that doesn't belong. Well, whatever it is, there's some kind of a malach or another for sure. So how do you know from all the psukim and parshas Lech Lecha it says Shmini? Fine. Who says that it's even Derech Shabbos? So the Gemara says one opinion is that that's why it's repeated over here. It's repeated over here not to teach you that there's a connection with parshas Tazria. No, repeated. It could have been just as well repeated anywhere else. It's repeated to teach me that Milu Bizman is Derech Shabbos. So that's what some Rishonim say, that this is the answer to Taisa's Kasha. Taisa has the Kasha. We don't permit one to shake a lulav on Shabbos, Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu. We don't permit a person to blow shofar on Shabbos, Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu. Hakol Chayovim, Vein Hakol Bikiyim. Nu Bris Mila, certainly Hakol Chayovim, Vein Hakol Bikiyim. So why did they allow us to perform a Bris Mila on Shabbos? You should say Shem Yavirenu. Maybe they'll make a mistake and carry the knife at carrying the baby. So there's six different terutz in the Tosis in the first parak in Megillah quotes that kasha. And Tosis gives two terutz, and the Miri there collects all the six terutz into the kasha. So one of the terutz that the Miri gives, you would have sworn that the Achrayim gave that terutz. The Achrayim do give that terutz. It's based on the Taz, they all say, but the Miri has it. Miri already foresaw the terutz from the Achrayim. It sounds like a style of Achrayim. So the Taz has this famous kasha in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. He quotes his father about the Bach. When the Chachamim prohibited blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu, why didn't they forbid blowing shofar, period? Even on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Chol, it's a mashmiya kol, you're playing a musical instrument, Shemi Sakon Klei Shir. You're not allowed to blow shofar all year long. Tkiya shofar is Chachma Veda Malacha. It's an Issa Medirabban, it's not a Malacha. But still in Issa Medirabbanan. So they should have prohibited blowing shofar on every Rosh Hashanah. Why only Rosh Hashanah Shecholis B'Shabbos? So the Taz quotes the Bach, he develops this new theme. You can't make a Gzeira Derabbanan Keneged Dava HaMafurish Bator. Since it says Beferish in the Chumash that you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you can't do away. It doesn't say explicitly you have to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's self-understood. But it's... So that they can make a gzera prohibiting tkiya shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. But to do away with the whole tkiya shofar, you can't make a din, a gzera, the rabbana keneged davar mafurish b'Torah. So that's what some achrayim say based on that Taz, and that's what the Meiri in Megillah has that based on this svara. He says, the rabbis cannot prohibit milo bizmano on Shabbos because it's a davar mafurish b'Torah. This pasuk is written here in Parshas Tazria solely for the purpose of telling me that Milu Bizman is Derech Shabbos. That's the whole purpose of this pasuk. It doesn't really say, it's not really Dov HaMafurish B'Torah. It's still only a drasha. But some Achrayim and the Meiri writes the same. They think that that's the equivalent of Dov HaMafurish B'Torah. That the Chachamim didn't have the ability to make such a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Right after the laws of Yoledes, the beginning of Tazria, so the Chumash starts with the dinim of Tzara'ah. So the din is that the Rias Negoyim has to be done by a Kohen. Amar HaKohen al achad mi bonav ha-Kohanim. What about a Kohenes? What about a woman who's a Kohenes? So Rab Chaim Kanievsky has an essay about this that he printed many years ago. He found a Medrash that says that a Kohenes can... Otherwise, a problem. Let's say a woman has a Rias Nega on the private parts of her body, so she has to go to a Kohen, she can't go to a woman Kohenes. So he quotes a Medrash that says Beferish, a Kohenes is also good. There's a discussion, the Mishlei Melech has a discussion. Based on the Gemara in the end of Chulin, when do you say Kohen Vafilo Kohenes? When do you not say Kohen Vafilo Kohenes? Let's say Pidyon HaBen. Can you give the Pidyon HaBen money to a woman who's a Kohenes? Her father was a Kohen. She's mad. Doesn't make a difference. She's married, single, married to a Kohen. Not Kohen, doesn't make a difference. She's still a Kohenes. So Tosis in the first parak in Kiddushin on Daf Ches says you can give the Pinyon HaBen money to her husband. Tosis says Rav Kahana, Shokol Sudra, the Pinyon HaBen, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. Tosis says, Agamar, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, but his wife was a Kohenes. So he would take Pinyon HaBen money on behalf of his wife. Even though his wife was married to a non-Kohen, she was still a Kohenes. And the Shlomo Melech says, you look in the Rambam holds Beferish, not so. Pinyon HaBen can only be done by a male Kohen, cannot be done by a woman Kohenes. Some of the Dinam of Kohuna, the Gemara in the end of Chulan has a whole discussion. Different opinions. Rabbi Kiveger, in his commentary on Yerideya, points out that the Mishnah Melech's discovery that it's a machlokes Tosis and the Rambam, that he can fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen by giving to a Kohenes, depends on the two opinions of the Amoraim in the end of Chulin. The Gemara has a machlokes, when do you say Kohen Afilu Kohenes, and when do you not say Kohen Afilu Kohenes? So based on the guidelines in the Gemara, L'chapan Afkemina by Pidyon HaBen. Anyway, so here, Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes, it's a Beferish and Medrish, then a Kohenes can also be Roya Sanigvayim. So if a woman has an Eged Sarah, she'll probably go to a woman Kohenes. There's a Mishnah Negoim that says it has to have the right maritome, the many, many different maris. Obviously, in Tolkien, it's very complicated. So the Mishnah says, let's say, I'm going to look at a Kohen is going to look at a Neged Saras, and he has to decide, he's not sure. So meanwhile, he'll look at someone else's Neged Saras. They're all lined up. There are 10 people lined up. So look, I'm not sure. Look at the next one, next one, next. Look at all 10 and they'll say, you people are Torah, you can go home. And this guy's Vaday Tom. And the rest of them I'll think about. He'll decide. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. You should look at one Neged Saras at a time and give a psak on that. Don't look at another one and then... Because by comparison, this is much brighter than that, but this is less bright than that. So you're gonna give a different psak based on comparing it to the other Neged Saras. You should judge each Neged Saras on its own merit. We have a din in Hilchas Nida that's based on one of the dinim, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes, it is based on one of the dinim by Tzaras Begodim. The Mishnah says that Tzaras Begodim doesn't apply by Big Day Tzivanim. Because if you have a color, you're akrako adam dam on a different background, so it's already the beged is blue or the beged is yellow, wherever, and you've got to have a akrako adam dam on top of that, so the colors are going to be confusing. So that's not mitame. So we have a din that if a woman had a kesem, means dam came without a hargosha, so ksamim are only mitame midirabbanim. So the kesem is only mitame midirabbanim if it has a maritame. So let's say the kesem was found on Big Day Tzivan, on colored garments. So we pass on the halacha that they were never goyzer on ksamim on Big Day Tzivan. So Rav Moshe says that that's based on this Mishnah in Negoim, that if the Big Day Tzivanim have a Neged Saras, you ignore it. So a color on top of a different color background doesn't count. So the chari, one should be medactic also. Let's say different women come with different maris, or a woman comes with 10 different maris. This is the hefsek tar, this is the first date, this is the second date, this is the evening, the morning. She has a whole bunch of maris. So it's not right. The rabbi shouldn't say, well, let me see all the 10 maris. And then he says, oh, from all the 10 women, he says, oh, this is no good, this is good, and the others I'll think about. Then he's going to be paskin based on comparing one to the other. So the chari, it doesn't say in halacha, but the chari, just like Rav Moshe says, he carry over the din of Big Day Tzivanim from Tzaras Begodim to Ksamim, so the Chorah here also, we should really carry over this din as well. That one should not look at all the Maris, the Vasachas, and then give a Psak. He should look at one, give a Psak on that. Shouldn't give the Psak based on a contrast and a comparison to the others. The Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis Negoim has a whole discussion as to whether you need a Kohen Miyuchas in order to do Rias Negoim. He has a discussion, how come we're not knowing Rias Negoim Bizman Azeh? How come the people have in Neged Saras? Why don't they ever go to a Kohen to ask whether the Kohen should be Metame or not? So he raises a possibility that maybe just like the Zidin, you need a Kohen Miyuchas to be Makar of Karbonis. Maybe you require a Kohen Miyuchas for Rias Negoim, and most of the Kohanim today are not Kohanim Miyuchas. Yeah, even if you should say like that, why should you say like that? Kohen Miyuchas is a Chumra Midirabbanan. That's how Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was suggested, and that's what Rabbi Kevega Nechsam Sofer were masking with him. That the requirement for Kohen Miyuchas, the Pasuk in Ezra says, they didn't allow Kohanim Chazokah to be Makar Karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, insists that you have to be a Kohen Miyuchas. So that requirement is a Chumra Midirabbanan. So why should you assume that they made the Chumra B'negeah to Pidyon HaBen? You don't need a Kohen Miyuchas. You don't give the Pidyon HaBen money dafka to a Kohen Miyuchas to give the first Aliyah to Duchen. For all other purposes, you don't need a kohen miyuchas. All the dinim of kohanim. You only need a kohen miyuchas for akravas hakarbonos. So why should I assume that that rias negoyim should be the similar to akravas hakarbonos that you need a kohen miyuchas? Pash, this is that you don't need. The din distinguishes between a metzora muzgor and a metzora muchlot. A metzora muzgor has the same level of tuma as a metzora muchlot, but the Mishnah says ein bein muchlot lemuzgor elo. There are several differences between the two. So one of the big differences is when he becomes tahor, does he have to bring the whole set of karbanos on that? If he was a mukhlat, then he becomes tahor, then he needs the set of karbanos. If he was only metzora muzgar, so after the 7 days are up, so 14 days, 21 days, whatever, sometimes you have 21 days, after the 1 or 2 or 3 weeks are up, then he becomes tahor. So he doesn't have to bring the set of karbanos if he was only a muzgar. If he was a mukhlat, then he does have to bring the set of karbanos. What are the nihugim of the metzora? So the pasuk says he has to observe avelus on himself. Normally we talk about avelus on a relative who died. Here we say mitzoras hukish lemeis altina kameis Hashem mitzesa ben rechemimo. When Miriam became a mitzaras, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel kel no refon olo, so he said altihino kameis, let her not be like a meis. So the Gemara says, you see, if not pasuk, then a mitzoras iskish lemeis. What do you mean? You see from the pasuk that's not God speaking. If the Rebbe Shlom says something, then you learn out that it's a dinner. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, so how do you learn out that he can't make up dinner? The answer is, but the Rebbe Shlom told him to write that in the Chumash. It could be that he never said that. It could be that he said, give me a break, have rachmanis on my sister. Then the Rebbe Shlom said, you write in the Chumash al tihino kameis. When the Chumash quotes Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef and the brother, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a verbatim quotation. It could be that it's a representation of what they said, because the Rebbe Shlom wrote it in a certain way that we should learn out from it. So the Gemara learns out from there that a mitzvah is iskish lemeis. With respect to what there's a mitzvah iskish lemeis, is mitami ba'ohel. Just like a meis is mitami ba'ohel, so mitzvah is also mitami ba'ohel. It's not 100% the same as a meis. The Gemara Brochus quotes the Mishnah from the Goyim. Let's say I'm sitting in a room and they're carrying a body through the room. They're walking, carrying a body through the room. So I become tummy, tumas meis ba'ohel. But if a mitzora walks through the room and he doesn't sit still, then he's not mitami ba'ohel. The Gemara has a lashon, the mitzora is mitami bibiyah, called abo al abayis. The same thing as ohel, but they use the slightly different lashon that you should know it's not exactly the same. But the Gemara Brachas quotes that Mishnah in the Gemara, that's one difference. The mitzora is on a mitamei if he's standing still. If he's walking, then he's not mitamei. Then there's another difference that Tosis points out. The Mishnah Negoyim talks about the mitzora wants to daven a minyan. He's not allowed to enter into Ayoras HaMekofis Chom and Mimos and Shul Benun and Yosha Bodad Yesh B'chutz L'Machan and Moishavoy. So Rashi says, Chutz L'Sholosh Machnes. Chutz L'Sholosh Machnes is in Yerushalayim. There are three Machnes. There's Machnes Shechina, that's the Azorah, then the Harabais is Machnes Leviyah. Then the whole city Yerushalayim has a status like Machne Yisrael. In the Midbar there were three Machnes. So we have the three Machnes there. The Mitzvah is not permitted to enter Yerushalayim, is not permitted to enter any of the other Ayaras HaMekavis Chayma in most Yerushalayim. That's a big Machlekes in the Rishonim. If he enters Yerushalayim, if he walks into Yerushalayim, he gets Malkus, because it says, Lo Yavo El Tercha Machane. A pasuk later in Parashas Nasa, I think. Lo Yavo, it says, Kol Tzuro V'chol Zav V'chotomi Lo Nofesh. So it says, Lo Yovel Tercha Machane. So if he enters Yerushalayim, he's over on the Lav. Lo Yovel Tercha Machane. Yerushalayim has the status of Machane Yisrael. What if he enters one of the Ayoras HaMekofes Chayma? Does he get Malkus? They're all called Machane. Ayoras HaMekofes Chayma have a Kedusha as Machane Yisrael. Or is it just Mevatli Yesei Abad Yesh Mechutz LaMachane Moishovoi? It's supposed to be Mechutz LaMachane, but it's not really the same Machane that you're over on the Lav. So that's a big Machlokes HaRishonim. The Pashtus is that they're arguing whether Ayoras HaMekofes Chayma have the same Kedusha as Yerushalayim or a slightly lower level of Kedusha. The There's a famous line in the Kiryas Sefer. Kiryas Sefer was written by the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Sfas. They disagreed about a lot of things. Halacha Lamayis about Mitzvah Tzibar, it's other things. And they both wrote Chiburim on the Rambam. So Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah, and the Mabit wrote the Kiryas Sefer. So the Kesef Mishnah became accepted because he gives you all the Marmakonis. He tells it's a Gemara, it's a Tshuvas Agoinim, it's a Tshuvas Arif, it's a Tosefta, it's a Sifroa, a Mechilta. He gives you all the Marmakonis. So the Kiryas Sefer, it's very, floats around. He always says wild things, original ideas. Original things are scary. It's not at all like the Kesef Mishnah. But the Kiryas Sefer has this funny comment that all Ayores HaMakavos Chav Mores Yishuv Menun have the exact same status as Yerushalayim. And in principle, you can eat Kachim Kalim and all Ayores HaMakavos Chayma. The only thing is that you have to shecht all the Karbonis in the Azara. So once you shecht it in the Azara, then if you're going to take it, so Kachim Kalim can be taken into Yerushalayim. If you're going to take it out of Yerushalayim, it's Nifsal B'yotze. So it's not going to help if you bring it into the Ayores HaMakavos Chayma. That's like bringing it back into Yerushalayim. Once it's Nifsal B'yotze, so it's possible already. So he says, in theory, theoretically, you should be able to eat Kach Mekalim and all Ayores HaMakav V'chav and Mois Rishol Menun. They all have the same level of Kedusha as Yerushalayim. But the reason why you're not allowed to is because of a technical problem that will be Nifsal B'yotze. The Nifsal B'yotze. Then he has to kash on himself. So why can't you eat Mois Rishol and all Ayores HaMakav V'chav and Mois Rishol Menun? Mois Rishol is not Nifsal B'yotze. So wherever your farm is, why do you have to bring it to Yerushalayim? Bring it to the other Ayores HaMakavos Chayma, whichever is closest to your home. Why do you have to? So he says, no. The din that requires Achilas Ma'aseh Sheni be Yerushalayim, that's more chomer than Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. Ma'aseh Sheni you have to eat. Chal Tosham Afnei Hashem Alakecha, you have to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. Laman Tilmad Liyiras Hashem Alakecha. So Tosfos in Bava Basra, I think, quotes the Sifrei. You have to eat Ma'aseh Sheni and stare at the Beis HaMikdash and see the Kohanim, and you should be impressed with Yiras Hashamayim. You should see that the Makor of Kabbalah. Eating Karbanas, you don't have to be impressed. You're eating a Karban. So you can eat Karbanas theoretically in all Ayaras HaMakachim Kalam. In all Ayaras HaMakachim Kalam, the only thing is technically speaking, it'll be Nifsal B'yotze. That's why. It's a technicality. But Ma'aseh Sheni, it's not enough that you're eating it in Yerushalayim. It has to be. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. That should be close to the Beis HaMikdash. Ayaras HaMakachim Kalam don't have that Maila. The Ritva says the reverse from the Mabit. The Ritva Makkah says that the Yerushalayim that's required for the purpose of eating Kachim Kalim is a Mocham Adikin, a stronger Mocham Adikin Din of Yerushalayim than for the purpose of eating Ma'aseh Sheni. It says that Gagan Balias, Leinis Kachu, you're not permitted to eat, we spoke before Pesach, that the Ritva holds that Gagan Balias, Leinis Kachu, you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach on the upper levels in Yerushalayim, not on the ground level. That applies to all Kachim Kalim, but doesn't apply to Ma'aseh Sheni. Ma'aseh Sheni can eat on the rooftops, can eat on the upper floors. See, the Mabit has punkt verkehrt from the Ritva, that the Yerushalayim that's required for Achilas Ma'aseh Sheni is a Macham Adikadin than the Yerushalayim that's needed for Achilas Kachim Kalim. Tosu Shita is that it's the same. It's exactly whatever dinim you need for Ma'aseh Sheni, you need for Yerushalayim. The same din. You can't distinguish not in this direction, not in that direction. But that's the Mabit is forced into that. So that's really a machlekes. Sounds like that's the machlekes in Rishayim. If the Mitzvah will be nichnas into Yerushalayim, he's loike. What if the Mitzvah will be nichnas into one of the other ayores hamakaf ischem ois Yishuv Menun? He's mevatel the yesei. He's over on the yesei. Bodad yesh mechutz lamachane ma'ishavoi. He's over on the yesei, but he's also over on the love of lo yavol peruch hamachane. Do you call ayores hamakaf ischem hamachane? Oh no. It's not really called a Machne Yisrael. It's a lower level. So that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. So the Metzora is Iskish LeMeis. Who are the people who are like Meisim? Oni is Choshev Kemeis. Ishein Labanim is Choshev Kemeis. And the Metzora is Kemeis. And the Metzora is Kemeis is a Din. Altina Kemeis is a heck. It's Metami Ba'ohel. Yeah. So he started to say, Minchas Chinuch points out, the Mitzvah is Matame Bibiya, the Gemara has an expression. What do you mean Bibiya? When he enters into a house. Why don't they say Mitzorah is Metame Ba'ohel? No, because he says it's not exactly the same. Mitzorah is only Metame if he's standing still. If he's walking, is not. So they didn't want to say Mitzorah is Metame Ba'ohel. You shouldn't think that it's exactly the same as the Nes. Then there's another difference. There's a Mishnah in the end of Negoim. The Mitzorah wants to daven a shul. Now the Mitzorah is not allowed to enter Ayaras HaMakavos Chama, but the other cities he's allowed to enter. So he lives in a city regular. And he goes to shul every day. Yeah, but he's going to sit down in the shul. If he's closed mind, he's walking in the shul, there's no problem. Not mitame. He's going to sit down in the shul, everybody's going to be mitame. So they have a separate section for the mitzvah. So he walks into his section as long as he's walking. Make sure he does a standstill. As long as he's walking, it's not mitame. Then he goes to his section. What do you mean a section? They have a mechitza to separate between him and the rest. Mechitza doesn't go to the ceiling. Mechitza goes, it's a high mechitza. Okay. His section, the Gemara says, has to be, I think, Mishnah. I think it has to be Dalet Amis al Dalet Amis. If his section where the Mitzvah is going to be less than Dalet Amis, it's not considered a separate section, so it's considered as if they're all in the same shul. So then when he's going to sit down, because man, he's walking, there's no problem. He's going to sit down, he's going to be mitam the other people. But once his section has Dalet Amis, even if he sits down, he's not mitam the people in the shul, even though there's a door that opens up. Not the same as Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis goes from one room to the other. The Pashto says Tumas Meis goes min HaTorah from one room to the other. It's not a Chumra Midirabonah. But the Tumas Mitzorah does not go from one room to the other, even though the door is open, even though the window is open. So that's why the Minchas Chinuch claims. That's why we use the different Loshon, a different expression. Instead of saying that Mitzorah Hu Kishlameis is Mitami Ba'ohel, so he says Mitami Bibiyah, Kol Avol Abayis will be Tomei. There is a shach in the end of Yerideya. The end of Yerideya you have all of Hilchas Avelos, so four Hilchas Avelos has Hilchas Tumas Koyanim. So there's a shach that says that if the mace is in one room, I'm in the other room, and there's a door that's open connecting, that's only Tumah Midirabonim. So some want to say, oh, that's why the Mitzorah, they would have a Goyzen. The Mitzorah is the same as the mace. So the Mitzorah, they would have a Goyzen. By mace, they were Goyzen. So the Pashto says that shach is a misprint. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes. The shach is not a misprint. Whatever letter, Sif Kot Yutes, whatever, they put the letter of the shach on the wrong word in the Mechaber. It belongs on a different line in the Mechaber. Shach is talking about Sof Tumah Lotzeis. He's not talking about the Tumah that goes from one room to the other. Pashto says that Tumah that goes from one room to the other by Meis is a Din Deraisa, and still it doesn't carry over to the Mitzor. And so is Matame Bibiya. The mace is Matame Ba'ohel, slightly different. So the Mitzorah is Iskish Lemeis, so he observed Avelus on himself. So what Avelus, we assume all the dinam of Avelus by when you observe Avelus for someone else, when a relative dies, so there are more paskins in the end of Yeridea, next to Les Simon and Yeridea, there are more paskins, the Shiva Shloshim, everything is only the Rabbanah. There's no Avelus, the rice. Chabad paskins like the Rambam and the Rif and the Gaonim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is their eyes. So the Sfardim follow that opinion, comes up on Afkemina once in a while, and the Ashkenazim follow the opinion of their Amov, the Balei Ateis, that all of the laws of Avelus are the Rabbanon. That's when one is observing Avelus on someone else who died, a relative died. What if one is observing Avelus on himself? The Mitzorah is considered like a maze. He's observing Avelus on himself that he's dead. So that says in Chumash, God of you frumim, Rosh Yefarua, Valsofam Yata. He has to have Atifas Arosh. Valsofam Yata has to wear a hood that goes down to his mustache. Valsofam, Sofam is a mustache. Yata, he should have Atifa. God of you frumim, his begotten should be torn. Rosh Yefarua. Rosh Yefarua, the Gemara says, means he should let his hair grow. It's also to do Tiglachas. He observes some of the laws of Avelus. It's Adin Deraisa. That's what led some Rishonim to assume that Nidui is also, the Nihugim of Nidui are also Deraisa. The Gemara says, when Bezdin decides that they want to put someone in Nidui, a Nidui is a curse that he should drop dead. So they declare, he hereby declared as a Gavar Ktila. And the Menud has to observe Avelus on himself. Not like observing Avelus for someone. Avelus for someone else, we assume, is only the Rabbanon. Avelus for himself, the Chumash has by the Mitzorah, is a Din Deraisa. So the Menud is also, it made him into a Gavar Ktila. So the Menud also observes certain laws of Avelus on himself. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether the Nihugim of a Nidui are of a Menud, or the Reis, or the Rabbanon. in connection with the Tzaraz Begadim, so the Torah sometimes requires that you should burn the whole Begad. So the Gemara has a din, Tzaraz Mameres Eitein Bo Me'ero. The Gemara translates on the Pasuk, Tzaraz Mameres Eitein Bo Me'ero, a curse that it's also Bahano. So the Ramban writes in the Machamis in one place, how do you know that it's also Bahano from the word Mameres Me'ero? So I think the Ramban says a different marker. He says, from the fact that the Torah says you have to burn it, shouldn't be an issue of Baal Tashchis. If the Torah says you have to destroy something, so obviously it's also Bahano. If it would have been Mutar Bahano, it doesn't make sense that Ribbono Shel Olam should be mitzvah that we should destroy it. So from the fact that it's a besorah for sabeged, you have to burn it. In some cases, in such a case, then it's also Bahano. That's a shayla. What do you do? Chametz bePesach is a machlokes haTanaim. Rabbi Yisrael Glili says to the other Tanaim, Tamei al atzmecha, how can you say such a thing? Chametz also Bahano kol shiva. We don't accept his opinion, but Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds that Chametz bePesach is Mutar Bahano. So how can he hold such an opinion, Mutar Bahano? It says, Ach b'yom rishon tashbisa, says you have to destroy the chametz. If you have to destroy, so the Ramban has this svara. Whenever you have to destroy, so it's self-understood that it's also Bahano. Thus the Ramban svara is lefi psak halacha, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Yeah, but how come there's a whole sugi in Pesachim in the second parak? The Gemara asks, how do you know the chametz b'Pesach is also Bahano? So it's machleg, it's chizki, v'rababo, goes on and on and on and on. So five blood Gemara. Why don't they say the Ramban svara? It says, Ach b'yom rishon tashbisa, you have to destroy it. Whatever you have to destroy, self-understood that it's also Bahano.
Well, that's understood in the
Sukkim.
It's not understood in the Sukkim, but chametz b'Pesach is
not the straight. Not the straight, but you still have to destroy it. Tashbisa, still you have to destroy. Yeah. Unless the Gemara means chemtze shalakum. If the Nochri has chametz, also asabano. Also, not only chemtze shalisol is asabano. Chemtze shalisol is a mitzvah of tashbisa. Chemtze shalakum is also asabano. So the Gemara needs psukim for that. Could be. The concluding phrase in Parshas Tazria is, when the pasuk says Taras Negat Zaras, etc., etc., the Taharo, O the Tamo. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a Yerushalmi. I think he says Yerushalmi and Trumas, that the Taharo O the Tamo means that just like there's a mitzvah on the coin to be mitamei when it's supposed to be declared as tamei, so too there's a mitzvah to be mitahir. And just like you have to be careful not to be mitahir shaloi kedin, so too you have to be careful not to be mitame shaloi kedin. And then the Yerushalmi extrapolates from this pasuk to shayla sisa v'heter. The rabbi has to be careful not to be mekel when the din is that something is osir, and he's not permitted to be machmer when something is mutter. It's the same degree of an avera that the Yerushalmi presents. The tahara all the time goes on paskening tame, paskening tahar. It's the same degree of an avera if you're going to distort the din, lahokel or lahachmer. Just like it's forbidden to asa something that's mutter, it's forbidden also to be mata something that's really awesome. Same degree of an issa. By tzaraz batim, the pasuk says the balabayis comes to the kohen and says ki nega nirali babayis. I think I have a problem. So the kohen comes. They should empty everything out. B'term yavah ha-koyin. Why should they empty everything out? In order that it shouldn't become tumah. Because the tumah saras is only from that moment on that the koyin passes. What if the balabai doesn't care? It's junk anyway. As far as he's concerned, you can throw it out. He's a wealthy man. He's going to throw it out anyway. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is this an etz ha-toiva? Finos ha-bayis? An etz ha-toiva? Or no, it's a real din. When the koyin comes, the house should be empty. It shouldn't be full of junk. Machlek Zatanaim in the Mishnah and the Goyim. Then it says, V'ra HaKoyin, V'yotz HaKoyin, Min HaBayis Al Pesach HaBayis, V'hizgus HaBayis Shilas Yom. So the Gemara Chulin in the first parak has a whole discussion. How do you know, Minoha Milsa Dam Rabban and Zil Basa Chazoka? How do you know that you follow Chazoka the Meikora, status quo? Whatever it was yesterday, we assume it didn't change, we assume it's the same, unless we know that a change occurred. How do you know you go basar hazok? And so the Gemara says he can see from this pasuk. The kohen looks and he sees that there's a kigris. Then he goes outside and he declares that the bias is tamei. How does he know that it still has a gris? So ras has funny ways. Sometimes it shrinks. Let's say the kohen declares tamei, then it comes back the end of the week. He sees that it shrank. Maybe it shrank in between the time that he saw it. It does. Tosfos says it doesn't shrink gradually. Sometimes it shrinks all the vasachas. This teras is a funny. It's not a normal thing that goes with progression. So how did he know that he had a right to declare the bais tamei in the first place? Maybe it shrank and it didn't have a kigris at the time of the hisgeres habayis. So it's a right that you go basar hazok, ishtalef the hazok. So then the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe the kohen is walking backwards. And he sees the whole time that it has a negat saras. Maybe he sees that it didn't shrink. The Gemara has a discussion. The yotze hakoyin min abayis el pesach abayis. So the Gemara says, the yotze hakoyin, what if the kohen will see the gris and then he'll walk home? He goes home, a 20-minute walk to his own home. And then he'll declare the bais this time. Is that okay? So the Gemara says, no, you should declare b'yatzah kohen al pesach habayis. You shouldn't go home. You should declare the moment he walks out. So Tosfos, I think it's a Gemara in the Dorim. So Tosfos says to Akasha, but it says v'hisgiras habayis. He has to close the door. So when he goes home, his home is 20 minutes away from this home that he's being mazgir. So how can he close the door if he lives 20 minutes away? He lives so many blocks away. So Tosfos says he'll tie on a string to the knob of the door. He goes home, he'll yank the string and close the door. So Tosfos understands literally that his giras habayis means he closes the door. This giras habayis. Pasha Pshat, one could have learned not like Tosfos. His giras habayis, he declares that the bayis is musgar. Why do Tosfos have to learn the pasuk literally? His giras habayis means he shuts the door to the bayis. Means he declares that the bayis is a musgar. I don't know, but Tosfos took a kipshuto. So the pasuk says that when you have a bayis hamenuga, abol habayis kol yimei hisgiros yitmator, v'ashecha b'bayis yichabes hezbor, v'ocha b'bayis yichabes hezbegodol. It's all the same thing. Abol habayis, ashecha b'bayis, v'ocha b'bayis. It's all the same thing. So why is it so such misleading? It says abol habayis is tamei ad ha'erev, ashecha b'bayis is even metamei begodim, v'ocha b'bayis is metamei begodim. So what's abol habayis? They're all the same thing. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, it's like that. No. It's not davke hoichel babayis, not shecha babayis. It depends if he's walked into the house, the bayis hamuzgar, and he walked out, if he's only there for a moment, then he's only tummy his begodim and not tummy. If he's carrying the begodim, so then he takes them in and he walks out, so just like he becomes tummy immediately, so whatever he's carrying becomes tummy immediately. But if he's wearing the clothing, he's wearing the rings, he's wearing the shoes and socks, he's wearing the yarmulke. So then the begodim only become tameh. It's both the lag of the body. The begodim only become tameh if he's there, shir kedei achilas pras. Ochel babayis doesn't mean if he eats in the house. He's shohe babayis kedei achilas pras. And not only is he tameh, but even the begodim that he's wearing also become tameh. So this is the mocker in Chumash for the institution of toch kedei achilas pras. Here it's not talking about eating. He was just talking about a period of time, a few minutes of time, that the fellow walked into a bayis hamenuga long enough to eat a kedei achilas pras. Long enough to eat what? Toch kedei achilas pras. Long enough to eat what? Long enough. He shoya babayis, he walks into the house, no one's eating anything. The fellow walks into the bayis hamenuga. How much food is a pras? A volume of how much food is a pras? A pras is a half of a big challah. He break the challah. How big is the big challah? So that's a machlek zatan in Mishnayis and Erevin. Whether the big challah is 8 kibetzim or 6 kibetzim. So you break it in half, you're either going to have 3 kibetzim or 4 kibetzim. That's a shaila of paskin. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote two opinions, whether a pras is 3 kibetzim or 4 kibetzim. So 3 betzim or 4 betzim are volume of what? So Rashi quotes from the Mishnayis, Pas Chitim, Mese Be'Oichel Be'Liftum. There are different kinds of bread. Some breads go down easier than others, go down your throat. Some breads are very dry and it takes a long time to swallow. some are moist. It says pas chitim, mesa ve'echa belift, and he's dipping it into salad dressing that makes it slipperier, so it slides down his mouth easier. It's not going to be a dry. It's not going to be matzah. So if he's eating pas chitim, he's eating wheat bread, either three or four beitzim of it, a pras, massive and a reclining, comfortable, relaxing position, the lift and dipping into a salad dressing so it's easier to swallow. So that's the original shear of Terka de Achilos Pras. The Shaila is that the shear and call it Terkula? You have to eat a kazayis of matzah Terka de Achilos Pras. Or whatever, whenever there's a din of Terka de Achilos Pras. So the Minchas Chinuch Tain is no. That's only the shear here by Bais HaMenucha because he's not eating anything. Here is just the shear shahiyah. If a person enters the Bais HaMenucha and he leaves in a minute, say only he becomes tummy, the begotten do not become tummy. If he shoya by Bais Gedech, he lost pras pas chitim, oichel, mesav, oichel, beliftan, and not only is he tummy, the begotten are tummy, but if a person is eating food, so you measure by each and every individual food. If he's eating hard-boiled eggs, so you have to figure out how long would it take him to eat three or four kibbetzim of hard-boiled eggs? If he's eating pickles, if he's drinking soup, how long would it take him to eat three or four beitzim of soup? So he has to eat the kazayis terkei d'achilas pras of that maichal that you're eating. There's even a machlokes achrayim if he's drinking hot coffee, drinking hot tea. So there's a shaila and rishonim whether you say the bracha achrayim if you drink a revius. We assume Shulchan Aruch, you only say bracha achrayim if you drink a revius. Tosfos says you say bracha achrayim if you add maloy lugmach. Tosfos is not so convinced that it's revius. Maybe the shear is maloy lugmach. Malugmav is a roiver vias by an autumn bedeli. But in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass on like Tosfos. They say, Safi brachas lokal. So you don't say bracha achrayim if you only had malugmav. You have to drink a revius. So the revius that you drink has to be terkei de shtiyas revius, or should be terkei de achilas pras. So that's a machlek is the Rambam and the Rav. So the Rambam says that it's revius terkei de achilas pras. So terkei de achilas pras of what? I'm drinking water. After drink a revius of water, terkei de achilas pras of water, not terkei de achilas pras of chitim. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Each food that you're eating depends on the achilas pras of that food. So if you're drinking soup or you're drinking water, the shear is measured terkei de achilas pras of that maichal. If you're drinking hot coffee or hot tea, that the minig is that people, you don't want to burn your kishkas, you don't burn your throat, so you drink it slowly. So that's a machlekes in achrayim, but it depends terkei de achilas pras of hot coffee, or terkei de achilas pras of room temperature coffee that you can drink down very quickly. But the Minchas Chinuch Tain is that he doesn't understand how achrayim gave a shear. How can they give a shear terkei de achilas pras? The shear should only be relevant for the bais hamenuga, but when you talk about achilas pras of any other food, each food is judged individually, and a hot drink is a machlekes achrayim, but it's measured by a hot drink or by the same drink at room temperature, which would be a much shorter period of time. Parsha ends off with all the Torah ends off with the Zav and the Zava and the Nida and the Balkari. Balkari is a big shaila discussion in Rishonim. Some want to say it's a machlokes hatanaim. But the tumas balkari is a tumah hayotzeh lemigufa, tumas riya, or it's a tumas mago. Is it that the shichva zera is metame, so the balkari becomes tame because the shichva zera is touching the outside of his body? So then he'll only be a rishon l'tumah. He won't be an avhatumah. Should we say no? Whoever is a balkari is considered an avhatumah. So quite a few achrayim, there's so many stiras and mishnayis and toseftas and makaris. So there's a popular idea in achrayim that this must be a machlekes hatanaim. And the first daf in Bava Kamma, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Kelim. Oves hatumah hasheretz, hashichva zera batomei meis. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes from the Rash. Why does it say oves hatumah hashichva zera? It should say a balkari is an av hatumah. So they say, would it appear from the Mishnah? Balkari is a rishon l'tumah. He's a tumas mago. He's not a tumah yotzal maguf. And on the other hand, there's a gemara in the first parak in Yuma that a balkari is mishtaleya chutz lemachna levia. A balkari is not allowed to enter machna levia. Means that it is a tumas riyah. It's a tumah yotzal maguf. What's the difference halacha lemaisa? Whether something is a tumas riyah? Yeah, by the balkari it's a difference. Is he a rishon l'tumah? Is he an avatumah? That's a big difference. Well, let's say a person went to a funeral and the mace is Aviyah Vais and he's an Avatumah. Another person is a Zav, he's an Avatumah. What's the difference whether I'm an Avatumah because I came in contact with a mace, or I'm an Avatumah because I'm a Zav? What's the difference whether it's Tumas Mago or Tumah Yotzolam Igufan? So one difference is whether you can participate in a Pesach HaPo B'tumah. When Rav Tzibur is Tommy, bring a Pesach HaPo B'tumah, so only those who have Tumas Mago can participate. Whoever has Tumas Yotzolam Igufan, Tumas Riyah, cannot participate. Taisus has a popular notion in the first Taisus in Nida and in Me'ila, Taisus, Gemara, different sources, Shita Mukubetzis in the first Bergum Baba Kama, that Sofik Tuma Bishus Hayachat Svei Katome Bishus Rab Svei Katar, that's only by Tumas Mago. By Tumas Riyo, those rules don't apply. The other difference is also two different categories of Tuma, Tumas Maga and Tumas Riyo. At the end of the parsha, you have the pasuk towards the end. Hizartim is that's how the mafta begins. Hizartim is bnei Yisrael mitumasim. Hizartim means vehifrashtem. What do you mean vehifrashtem? So pasuk pshat v'lo yamusa b'tumasam etamamis mishkani yashem b'sarcham. Hizartim is bnei Yisrael mitumasim. The bezin has an obligation to be mafrish bnei Yisrael from entering the Beis Hamikdash in a state of tumah. So the rabbanut put up a sign by the gate, by the door that leads into the Harabayas, that we're all tummy and not allowed to go. So that's Hizartim is Bnei Yisrael Mitumas. So that's the Pashup Shah. So the Gemara in Shavuos has an additional level of interpretation. So just before we were talking about a Zava. So the Torah says, Hizartim is Bnei Yisrael Mitumasam, Azhar Bnei Yisrael, Sheyifrushu Minashaseyem, Samach Levestam. That every woman has to figure out when is she expecting to have her period. That's called the Doinus Aprisho, that the husband is not allowed to be with his wife. I don't know, people don't learn Hilchas Nida. People go to college, then they graduate, they don't learn Hilchas Nida. So a lot of people never heard of this din. It's a din in the Gemara, a din in Shulchan Aruch. The din Aprisho, Samach Levestan. That whenever the woman is expecting to have her Riyas Dam, so she's not permitted to be with her husband. And some Rishonim assume that this is a din deraisa. Exactly, is Bnei Yisrael mitumasam. The Prisha Samach Lo'enes Avesus is a din deraisa. Some say that we paskan the Avestus lav deraisa. How can the Prisha be a din deraisa? And other Rishonim and Achrayim disagree. They say no, the Prisha is still a din deraisa, even Avestus lav deraisa, but Prisha Samach Lo'enes would be a din deraisa. So the parshas are chock full of dinim. Tazriya Metzora. There's so many psukim. The Gemara says in Chagiga that if you're not sure what the din is in Tumas Meis, don't look in the Chumash. It's not going to help too much. Look in the Mishnayos. But if you're not sure what the din is in Tumas Tzaras, look in the Chumash. The Mishnayos don't have all the dinim. Look in the Chumash and everything will be clarified. Every step in the parsha is another dinim.